Oh, I love this one. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Listen to this. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Oh, yes, I love it. There is power in the gospel message, dear friend. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Happy Thursday to you this 18th day of July. 2019. I am Joey Kroll. You are listening to Mark and Friends today. I hope you are staying nice and cool because it is hot. That is for sure. It is certainly hot. So, of course, if you need to be outside, be in the shade, drink plenty of water, you know the drill. It is summertime. That is for sure. Our church is having our vacation Bible school this week, so I have been operating on the grace of God and coffee all this week, and we wrap it up tomorrow. So if you can't be praying for us, because it is just a wonderful opportunity, it really is, in the midst of all the craziness and the hard work, we are being missionaries to those little kids and ultimately their families as well. So pray for us and other churches in the area that are having their vacation Bible school this summer. And speaking of families and churches, Grace Church in Muhammad invites you and your family out to a great concert coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Triumphant Quartet will be in concert at 7 p.m. 800 West Oak Street in Muhammad. Again, that's at Grace Church tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And they have, Triumphant Quartet has one of those well-known songs out now in Southern Gospel music called Chainbreaker, which is a fun song. We may have to dig that up today and play that here on Mark and Friends. But if you want more details on that concert, just visit our event calendar page at our website, greatnewsradio.org. And up at the tab there, just click on New Events. And while you're there, if your church, ministry, or organization has an upcoming event, you can fill out, there's a nice little link for you to fill out right there to submit your information, your announcement, and we'll try our best to get it on the air, but also on our website as well. And while you're there, get more details about several other things. There's lots of other great concerts coming up, including a special event we'll be hosting at the Great News Radio Center on Tuesday, August 13th, on why biblically and historically Christians should stand with Israel. And it is being hosted, of course, at the Great News Radio Center with Christians United for Israel. So you can get more details on that at greatnewsradio.org. Click on New Events. Well, today here on Mark and Friends, we're going to be talking about the goodness of God. I'll tell you what, if there was a song to sing about God's goodness, I don't think that song would ever end, really. So today we're going to be talking about the goodness of God from Psalm 23. Coming up right after this from, oh, looky here, Triumphant Quartet, Chainbreaker, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, you're trying to fill the empty holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. there's a better life. Ooh, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Oh, if you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Shaking savior, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Well, thank you so much for listening to Great News Radio today. And I'll tell you what, Satan likes to distort things. Amen. Satan likes to take what is good and make it dirty. Satan likes to distort. And he loves to paint a bad picture of God. Where was God when this happened? Or where was God when that happened? You know, people today think of God as some kind of cosmic killjoy. Every time he sees anybody having a good time, he moves in and he breaks up the party. And today I'd like for us to talk about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Psalm 23, we'll start from the top. It's only six verses. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Listen to this. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Talking about the goodness of God today. First of all, we see a table. We see three things. First of all, we see a table. Table. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me." Now, David, who's writing the song, the psalm, he goes from talking about a valley, and the image shifts to that of a banquet, a victory celebration. David is seeing now that he is now an honored guest at a table that the Lord prepared for him. And who's the host? God. God is the host. It says, "You prepare a table before me." This table speaks of provision, food, and honor. And friend, where is this table? It is in the presence of my enemies. The presence of the psalmist's enemies is no threat to him. He is under Yahweh, God's protection and care. He's saying, "God will take care of me, even in the midst of the attacks of my enemies. Even though my name is dragged through the mud, even when I am being attacked, God will take care of me." This whole verse speaks of God as a host. In fact, the host's care and concern doesn't eliminate the presence of the enemies. It only enables the experience of God's goodness and bounty, even in their midst. I was reading some time ago about a missionary, John Gibson Patton, who worked among just some vicious people, cannibals, in fact, on an island in the South Pacific back in the 1800s. And the island was just full of cannibals who had no regard for life. They worshipped evil spirits and so forth. And a year after he and his wife moved to the island, his wife gave birth to a son. And a month later, Mary Patton, John's wife, died suddenly of pneumonia. And was later followed by their newborn son, who also passed away just a few days later. And so there he is, lost his family. And on this island, he was attacked countless times. He was constantly on guard while ministering to these natives. They were violent. They could attack him at any time. And there have been numerous attempts on his life. And he wrote in his diary, listen to this. Let me read this to you. This is fantastic. After one attack, he says, during the crisis, I felt calm and firm of soul, standing erect and my whole weight on the promise that Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. And he went on to say, I assured them that I was not afraid to die, for at death my Savior would take me to be with himself in heaven and to be far happier than I had ever been on earth. In Jesus I felt invulnerable as long as I was doing his work. I then lifted up my hands and eyes to the heavens and prayed aloud for Jesus, either to protect me or take me home to glory as he saw to be for the best. Friend, wouldn't you agree that this man was dining and fellowshipping with God in the midst of his enemies, in the midst of his trials? David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is good, dear friend. So we see a table. We also see oil. Verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. In the Middle Eastern home, mostly in a very wealthy home, they would have a bowl of oil right by the door. Very expensive ointment and perfume, and it would be there for special occasions. So when a very important guest would come into your home, maybe a family who had gone a long time, or someone you dearly loved, or someone you wanted to see, the guest would be greeted with a kiss on either cheek, and then the host would reach into the bowl of ointment by the door there, and he would put the ointment on the face, maybe on the person's head or hair of the guest, and it would be perfumed. That person would be refreshed, and they would call it the anointing of the head. And for the rest of the feast, this person would smell that sweet perfume and that ointment that was on their head. Remember when, I think it was Mary, took that alabaster box, that alabaster jar of ointment, and anointed Jesus. He says, for she has done a beautiful thing to me. Friend, despite the dangers about the presence of enemies, David enjoyed the richness of his host's goodness. So we see a table. We see oil. Friend, we also see a cup. We see a cup. Verse 5 says, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. Not only was there a prepared table and the anointing of the head, but there was something else that was wonderful. There was an overflowing cup. Hospitality, dear friend, is everything in this culture. I don't know if you know that or not, but hospitality is everything in this culture. And suppose that you have somebody in your home, and it was the unspoken rule. And when you invited somebody over to be a guest, you fed them. That was the unspoken rule. That was something in this culture. You fed them. And suppose you have your guest, and it's time for them to go home. So you would take your pitcher of water or whatever it is that you have, and you would fill their cup halfway. Halfway. That was a sign that, okay, it's time for the evening to come to an end, and time for us to depart and so forth. And so that's what the host would do. In that culture, where when it was time to go, the host would fill the cup of the guest halfway. He didn't have to say a word. It was the way of saying, it's time to end our evening. But if the host came with the pitcher and began to pour into that cup, to the brim. I mean, and it just let it overflow and run over. It was saying, you're special. I love it. You're invited to stay the night with me and my family. Stay longer. David, the psalmist here in Psalm 23, is saying, he, Jehovah God, has prepared a table before me. I am special. Jehovah God has anointed my head. He loves me. My cup is running over. He's showing hospitality to me. God is good to me. And maybe that's why he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Friend, we serve a good God. You know what? He shows us his love. Did you know that? Romans 5:8, but God shows us his love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's nobody on earth. There's nobody else who you will ever meet. There is no one who will love you like your heavenly Father. No one. He shows us his love. He is faithful towards us, dear friend. Psalm 119:90 says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. Friend, God is faithful to every single promise in his word. Friend, God is faithful. He not only shows us his love, he not only is faithful towards us, friend, he shows us his grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. I shared this little illustration this past Sunday on Sunday worship. An atheist said, if there is a God, may he prove himself by striking me dead right now. And nothing happened. And he said to his Christian friend, you see, there is not a God. And his Christian friend said, no, you've only proved that he is a gracious God. Friend, where would we be if it wasn't for the grace of God? He shows us his grace. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. And friend, he also shows us his mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son who had committed a certain offense twice and justice demanded death. And the mother explained, I don't ask for justice, I plead mercy. And Napoleon replied, but your son does not deserve mercy. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for. And the emperor said, well, then I will have mercy, and spared the woman's son. Friend, because of our sin, we don't deserve anything. The Bible does say, for the wages of sin is death. God shows us his mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Friend, we have a God who is so good to us. We serve a God that is so, so good to us. He showers us with his blessings, and we have a God who pours out his kindness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
My soul.
Watkinsville Worship, and it is well with my soul. You're listening to Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. It's Joey Kroll. If you missed any part of today's program, go back and listen to it through our audio archive section at greatnewsradio.org. Well, Fred, I'm going to hang up my headphones, enjoy the rest of my Thursday. In the meantime, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.